Good afternoon. This is Pamela Elaine Nichols, your host today for our monthly support call on preparing for divorce. To many of you, I am a new voice. You are used to hearing Adina Laver, who usually hosts the calls. Adina will be with you next month. I'm honored to co-host with Adina, who I hope to be like when I grow up. These calls are sponsored monthly by the Mainline Family Law Center, a divorce mediation firm that takes a holistic, integrated approach to assisting clients in navigating divorce in a healthy way. Just a little bit about me. I am a mother of four, a 10th grader, 9th, 8th, and 5th grader. I was married for 18 years and divorced in 2013. Since that time, I have created a business that helps women recover from divorce by discovering their beauty on four levels: physical, emotional, spiritual, and financial. I show these women how to become resilient beauties. I am also a speaker and an author of Muddy High Heels, 14 Lessons Learned from My Breakdown, Breakup, and Breakthrough. For those of you who are new to our calls, you are tuned into a conversation between myself and my guests to bring you valuable information about getting in financial shape. In order to bring you the most amount of information, we do not take live questions, though we are very eager for you to get all the support you need. At the end of the call, we will let you know how you can reach out to us, follow up, and ask questions. Please remember again, if for any reason you get bumped off this conference line, just call back in. The title of our call today is Getting in Financial Shape. I am really, really excited about this call because I am deeply concerned about the lack of financial shape individuals are in when going through divorce. I was certainly one of those individuals who didn't pay a lot of attention to investment, assets, liabilities, or retirement. Going through divorce was a rude awakening that forced me to do two things. One, improve my relationship with money, and two, plan my future with clarity and strategically. That only happened once I partnered with a financial advisor. Now, I'd like to introduce our guest for today, Julie Tarana. Julie Tarana has been a financial advisor for 8 years at Merrill Lynch, where she currently works. She helps develop and implement wealth management strategies for clients to help them achieve short and long-term goals. Using a focused planning process, Julie helps her clients reach their financial goals. Her mission is to transform the financial lives of individuals by implementing an effective investment strategy that allows them to lead a financially stress-free lifestyle. Let me say that again. Stress-free lifestyle. That's great. Julie holds the Chartered Retirement Planning Counselor designation, that's CRPC, awarded by the College for Financial Planning. She also earned the Certified Divorce Financial Analyst designation, that's CDFA, awarded by the Institute of Divorce Financial Analysts. Also, Julie is an affiliate of Mainline Family Law Center's Divorce Support Network. I met Julie at a divorce resource seminar. The adjectives I would use to describe her are sharp, knowledgeable, and approachable. The best part is she has firsthand experience about the impact of divorce. Julie spoke candidly at this seminar about her experience going through her parents' divorce. What struck me, or stuck out with me, was the profound impact parents have on their children when their divorce is unhealthy, and particularly when they fight about money. I determined that I would do better in the way I relate to my children's father, even when I think I'm right and he's wrong. Welcome, Julie.
Thank you, Pamela.
We're so delighted to hear. I can't wait to just get right into the meat of this conversation.
Yes, let's get started.
Julie, really, when I think about getting into shape, for any reason, the first words that come to mind are process, preparation, practice. Process meaning getting in shape is not going to happen quickly. Two, preparation, know what your end goal is and get ready to meet it. Practice meaning nothing happens without consistent action. Can you apply these words to getting in financial shape?
Yes, absolutely. And I know we were just talking about getting in shape for running a half marathon or a 10K, and this is very similar in that starting with the process, you have to assemble your team. So you have to know exactly who you want to represent you and help you get through this journey and this process that could be lengthy. So by organizing your team, you will get educated. And education leads to empowerment. And that sounds like a cliche, but it is never more true, especially in the divorce process. So most of the anxiety lies in the unknown. So just like when you're starting a weight loss program, you have to take day one and step on that scale and face where you're starting. So with the beginning of the divorce process, you have to start at the beginning, uncover all assets, and see where you stand at day one. So you can't get anywhere without knowing where you're coming from. So by organizing this team, you're able to prepare the exact lifestyle that you would like to obtain or to maintain. And you start with part A, where you are today, and where you would like to be, either short-term or long-term. In most cases, for us, we prefer to do both. And then you have to look at some of the non-negotiables, you know, what you absolutely want to hold on to, what you're willing to give up, and exactly where you want to see yourself at the end of this divorce process. And the last step that you discussed was practice. And this is where, you know, working with your team comes into play. So you want to meet with your mediator or attorney, your CDFA, CPA, your therapist, divorce coach, whomever you feel would best support you during this time. And each divorce specialist has their own strengths. So it's important to bring everyone together to help you on your journey and through your training process to finish this goal of getting through the divorce as seamlessly as possible and as swiftly as possible, because I'm sure most of you know it could be a very long, tedious, and expensive process. So we're just all trying to work together to get you to the other side in the best way possible.
You mentioned several people who should be on the team. I heard the CDFA, the Certified Divorce Financial Analyst, mm-hmm. CPA, a therapist, a divorce coach, a lawyer at minimum, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But I'm wondering, when I see this list, I can remember going back to my divorce and thinking, oh, my gosh, I can't manage all these people. I'm already having a hard time managing myself and my emotions. Is there someone who can serve like the general practitioner, if you will, who, you know, controls or coordinates with the specialists, to use an analogy of health? Is there someone on this team who could really act as the go-to person while I am working on, you know, the things that I need to work on, someone who can coordinate all these quote-unquote specialists?
Yes, and I think that a good starting point would be a divorce coach, since they can align all of the players on the team. And we all kind of work with it together, so it's a collaboration. So you as the client don't necessarily have to do every little thing, as long as we have permission to communicate with your attorney or conduct a three-way call. We would be able to do things as well without you having to do everything individually. We could do it as a group effort. But I really do believe in using a divorce coach to kind of be the quarterback of the team and organize everyone and get all the parts in line. I know this is something that wasn't available years ago, and many people say that they wish they had known about a divorce coach or if divorce coaching was a thing, you know, a few years ago, because it's so valuable to help organize everything and kind of allow the dust to settle for yourself so that you could think clearly as you work through the process.
And what's really great about Mainline Family Law Center for our listeners is if you go on their website, you can find all of these players. They are the affiliates, so it was really a one-stop shopping, if you will, for Mainline Family Law. So, Julie, tell me, what are some of the biggest fears around finances and divorce, and how can they be relieved?
Well, as I mentioned before, a lot of anxiety comes from the unknown. So we don't know what we don't know. So a lot of times it's better just to meet initially either with a divorce coach or an attorney or a CDFA such as myself so that we could uncover everything. And you just have to stare the monster in the face and realize, okay, this is where I am today, and this is what steps need to be taken to move forward. And again, you know, I can't stress this enough of how important it is to educate yourself. And while divorce is new territory for most clients, it is very scary, and you don't know what lies ahead. So by incorporating specialists on this journey, we already know what's going to happen before it does. So we're able to be the light for you going through the dark forest and guide you to eliminate as many dangers as possible.
Yeah, I think that what might be also part of this is going back to the point where you said educate yourself, that you can't go through this blindly. If you do, you really do run the risk of losing out in areas where you could possibly win. Do you think that it might be useful, going back to the process, preparation, and practice, that an individual spends some amount of time on a daily basis in this process just educating themselves? Do you think that would be worthwhile?
Absolutely. And I see a lot of cases where one spouse, just for example, maybe handles all of the financials in the relationship, and that was just their job. You know, when they split up the duties of the household, they were primarily in charge of running the finances. So now the other spouse feels like they're at a disadvantage because they have no idea what's going on and they don't even know where to begin. But this is just as much, you know, their game as the other spouse. So by educating themselves and getting caught up and asking for help, there is no question that is dumb or silly or unimportant when going through this process, because you have to make sure that you understand everything. And there are specialists such as myself and other professionals who are more than willing to help and help you navigate all of your finances and your exact situations now, even if you have been in the dark for most of your marriage. And it's never too late to learn. You're never behind the times. Things are changing so often in this world that we always should be, you know, updating our software, if you will. So I think that, you know, just taking at least an hour a day just to read what you have or read articles or reach out to specialists is extremely valuable.
I agree. You know, I'm thinking here, going back in time with myself and having spoken with a lot of other individuals who are going through divorce, it's hard to think about divorce as a business transaction because there is so much invested emotionally in it. But when you think about it, divorce is a business transaction. Forget all the wonderful trips that you took to Bahamas or Bermuda or Paris, France. It really is the assets and liabilities that come to play, and really there's little else that matters here. Would you say that that's the case? So that we now need to start thinking differently about the relationship and start thinking smart, strategic, this is business.
Yes. And I think that when you are in that mindset, you make better decisions because it's not so emotionally based, that you're able to think it through and not make any irrational decisions and proceed in the best way. And you kind of prepare yourself as being the best version of yourself. And maybe that takes a little extra time. And if it means delaying a meeting with your attorney and your ex-spouse, then delay it. Or if it means taking a time out to collect yourself, then do that. You just have to remove the emotions from it as, you know, as easily as possible. I know that it's not easy, but that's where professionals come in. We take out the emotional part. It is our job to be your steady rock and to maintain our objectivity and look out for the best of our client, and that is how we proceed. So it just helps for you to get on that same level, even though it may be very difficult for you to remove the emotions.
Yeah, you can't do it alone, that's for sure.
No, it takes a village, and that's okay. That's why we're here.
Yes, I love that. Tell us a little bit about the advantage of meeting with a certified divorce financial advisor. Why not just a financial planner?
So we've been talking a lot about having a team, and CDFAs, such as myself, have created relationships with other divorce specialists that we know more about the divorce process before you even get to it based on the experience that we have. Our close relationships with other professionals allow us to get a little more insight into the divorce process rather than just looking at it financially. And I truthfully believe that a really good CDFA is aware of knowing what you need to, I guess, what their limits are and where you need to look for other specialists' help. So recognizing that is a benefit to hiring a CDFA rather than just a financial planner. And regular financial planners are fine. It's just that they don't have the experience. So going back to your general practitioner analogy, it's as if they're the general practitioner and we're a specialist in cardiology. We're a specialist in the divorce process, which is exactly what you need at this time, and then also to plan for your new situation going forward, which is a unique situation compared to, you know, a client who's married and just looking for retirement.
Our listeners are in different stages of the process, Julie. When in the process should one meet with you?
I've met with individuals at every stage of the process. Ideally, it would be great to meet in the beginning. Part of the reason is because we don't have billable hours like attorneys, and I apologize to the attorneys out there, but if we were to spend an hour together with the client and go through all the finances, that saves a lot of money from paying the attorney. And it's kind of good to be prepared financially to go into a meeting with the attorney so you know exactly where you stand. And it's up to the attorney then to decide your approach of receiving your equitable distribution. I do, however, see a lot of clients during the middle of the process. If their divorce is at a halt because they can't reach an agreement and they are burning through money, meeting with attorneys constantly to try to make an agreement on their $10,000 stock options, that is sometimes a good opportunity to get in there and look at their full financial picture and work out a deal that both clients are happy with and or both spouses are happy with, and they could move on with the divorce process. I've done that a few times as well. And also, I see people just as they're finishing their divorce and they had worked previously with their spouse with another advisor, and now they feel that it's a different situation, they're not comfortable with it, or maybe their ex-spouse had a better relationship, and now that they have a new starting point, they want to hire their own advisor. I have started with people after the divorce, and it's amazing because they are so lucky at that point to have a fresh start, and the worst is behind them, and they're going to move forward with a clear financial plan. We make sure we map it out well into the future so that they know that they can get from point A to point B as smoothly as possible. So it's never too late to hire a CDFA, and we are more than happy to help at any stage of the process.
What if one doesn't know all the assets that are in play. How does one discover that and then bring it to bear?
Well, I guess a good point to start would be for both spouses to be honest and open about the amount of assets that they have. In some cases, that's not always true. So there are forensic accountants that can help uncover hidden assets. Truthfully, that is a more rare case to have to incorporate a forensic accountant. Most people just come clean with everything they have. But that does take a little more time to discover exactly what they have so that the equitable distribution is reached for both spouses.
Talk to us about how to balance short-term financial crunch with long-term goals, Julie.
Well, that's a very good point, because I think also another problem with divorce is that everything is very nearsighted. So it's what's going to happen short-term, or who's going to keep the house, or it's an argument over China, you know, things like that, that in the long run, it's going to look like a much different picture than it does right now. And the divorce process is going to be a very small amount of your entire life. So a 2 or 3 year divorce.
Wait. Now say that again, because that is something most of us don't see, that it's a short term, almost considered a blip on the screen. And that right there, I just want you to pause and just expound on that, Julie, because it's hard to see that as a reality.
Yes, and I completely agree. And if you are in the middle of it and you don't know when it's going to end, that tunnel could seem like forever.
Yes.
But just know that out of your entire life, so even if you were married for 30 years, this little divorce, even if it lasts, the longer end is 3-4 years, that's still such a small amount of time compared to what you had before you were married and the amount of years that you have after you're married. And chances are you're going to have a lot of years not married to your spouse than you spent married. And, of course, a lot longer than this divorce process continues. So it is very important to keep your eyes on the horizon.
I love that. That's hopeful. Okay, so keep going. I interrupted you to expound on that, but go ahead with.
No, I'm glad you did. I think that's very important, and it's important too. And just to take a step aside from the financial aspect, you know, if you have children, and I say this often, just coming from my background, you know, being a child when my parents got divorced, when the child support ends at 18. Your life with your children does not end. And even though your marriage ends and you're no longer husband and wife, you will forever carry the title mom and dad. And events are going to come up that you will be with your children and they will get married and you will have to be at the same wedding. And they will have your grandchildren and you will be in the waiting room waiting for your new grandchild to be born. And you have to think of those events, because those are going to happen. So why let this small little divorce out of your entire life dictate how those happy events for the rest of your family are going to go for the rest of your life? So it's a complete side from what we're talking about financially, but it's along the same lines of, you know, keeping the full picture in perspective and looking out through the horizon, because things that seem like a big deal right now in 20 years will not be a big deal.
Wow, what a perspective. I appreciate that personally. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure.
Okay, how do I know, let's switch gears a little bit. How do I know if my credit is strong enough to go the distance?
That is an excellent question. And a lot of times a problem can arise out of only one spouse being listed on the bills and the credit cards and the other spouse not being able to build credit. Fortunately, you can go online to freecreditscore.com and receive a free credit score. And I know some credit card companies offer free credit ratings. I know American Express offers it for free once a month. So it's very important. This, I guess, goes back to, you know, facing the monster head on, and you have to look at your credit score to know where you stand so that you know how to build up credit and make a poor score turn out to be better. And some examples of how you can do that is to, if you don't have any credit cards under your name, open a credit card account, put some money on it every month, make sure you could pay it off, you could start to build your credit score. Another thing that actually kills your credit score is when different stores offer their cards, and they'll say, would you like to open a card today and get 10% off your purchase? And it sounds very enticing. However, every time you open a new card, it hurts your credit score. So the 10% off at Macy's isn't always worth it. And I think that, you know, just taking a good look at it now and seeing where you are currently will only benefit you. And this kind of, to tie it into another topic along the lines of credit scores, a lot of spouses may not know that their names are on certain bills because maybe one spouse paid it the whole time. But sometimes during a divorce, one of the spouses, or the spouse that should be paying, out of spite or out of, you know, limited resources because of these new bills that are coming their way due to attorney's fees and so on, neglect to pay a bill. And if your name is on it, that hurts your credit score. Regardless if you ever knew about this bill or ever paid it, you're still held accountable and it still will hurt your credit score. So it's very important to be knowledgeable not only of the assets, but your liabilities as well, and on what documents your name is included.
Yeah, that's really important. I just to share really quickly from my end, I lived in a 5-bedroom, 4-bathroom home. And when I got divorced, I had to move out into a 2-bedroom apartment. Now,
oh, wow.
I did tell you that I have 4 kids, right?
Yeah.
A 2-bedroom apartment with my 4 kids. And one of the reasons I could not buy something for much larger was because I had some credit issues. So I spent that year plus living in that 2-bedroom apartment with my 4 kids, understanding my credit, clearing up my credit, calling creditors, getting letters saying that this is not owned by me, my name needs to be removed from this. And over that time, I was eventually able to buy something of my own that now can accommodate my children and me. But that came as a result of looking at my credit score, recognizing something was not right, I needed to improve in some areas, and then did that. So as encouragement for those who are listening, to definitely take a look at your credit, look at your score, and then start working towards improving it if your score is, you know, not good.
Yeah, and that's a good point, Pamela. It could take some time, but just be patient, and it will work out. And there are things you could do that could also be discussed with your CDFA of how you could build up your credit to put you in a better position.
Yeah. All right, so let's go to another question that's a little slightly different too, but still relevant. What is meant by, quote-unquote, teaming up to handle joint banking accounts and bills? Do you mean teaming up with my ex to do this, or I mean, I don't want to have to work necessarily with him or her to handle the banking accounts and bills. Must I? Is that what teaming up means?
Well, you don't have to. So I guess the first step is to see exactly what's currently held jointly. And also, as we were talking about bills and things like that, if it comes out of the joint account, you want to be able to divide that as equally as possible. And it's important to do that early on so that you know what's yours and what's his. And by once you start working through the process, and every situation obviously is unique, but what would happen is you would determine who is paying what bills and where it comes from, and if there should be some left in a joint account where those bills come from until the divorce is finalized. And some couples are okay with it, and others are not. And as of the day that their legal separation begins, everything is completely separate, and that is fine. It is all to your comfort level and what you think is best, because, of course, only you know your spouse you know them better than we do. So it's important that we take every situation as it comes.
Yeah, that sounds like that requires a great deal of cooperation between the couple.
Yes. It does, and hopefully they're also working with a team of well-educated experts, so we could collaborate and get that all situated.
Yeah. Divorce certainly is a game changer, a lifestyle changer, no doubt. How do we work a budget to meet this change? And first of all, let me just say, most of Americans can't stand budgets. We don't want to live on a budget. We don't want to talk about budgets. However, we understand that budgets are important, at least for a predictor and a planner of your future. So how do we work a budget to meet this change?
Well, I mentioned before that you are starting over, and this is a fresh new start for you. So it's really exciting, but based on that, you're going to have to figure out what your personal budget is per month. So I always recommend taking 3 months worth of expenses. So just take note, anything, food, clothing, utilities, rent or mortgage, figure that over 3 months so you get a good average of what your monthly expenses are. Obviously, some times of year are more expensive just because of holidays or special occasions. But if you have an idea of what you spend monthly and what you're comfortable spending monthly, that would be a good place to start for yourself. And then, you know, some things that used to be more costly now might be less expensive, such as grocery bills. But if you used to pay the utilities combined, now you're taking on more of yourself. So things may shift, but it's important to take an average over 3 months and then factor in also how much you spend on your children if you have them or if you have split custody. And it's important to use that and then see if you could save on top of that. And I know during the divorce process, saving isn't always a popular word. It's typically after the divorce process. And that's where we could start fresh and say, okay, this is how much you spend per month. Let's have a goal of spending this amount and see if you could save this amount. And it's amazing once you write down a concrete number how much easier it is to reach that goal because you're within limits. And you know, as things change, we could always make changes. It's not a law. It's not a rule. It's just an idea to help you get back on your own 2 feet and start your own financial path to your financial future.
This is really critical, Julie, because individuals have to be consistent at tracking what their expenses are over 3 months. And you're not talking about budget, like what is ideal. You're talking about actual expenses that should definitely be tracked so that you know you have a reality of what is coming in and what is going out so you can better prepare, yes?
Exactly. And truthfully, and to go back to the whole fitness theme, it's just like if you ever did a food log and you write down everything you eat throughout the day and you think, oh, gosh, I can't believe I ate like this. Or, you know, it's just an awareness that it brings to you of what you do daily. And this is how it is with spending. It's amazing when you write it down and how much things cost, how it adds up, and how you could see different ways that you could save. And I'm not saying you have to completely cut out luxuries, but there are smaller things like your daily latte or dining out 3 times a week. Or perhaps taking an Uber ride instead of a taxi cab. It's things like that that could add up that maybe you don't realize. So I think it's healthy for anyone to do it, just so that they see exactly where their money is going at the end of the month, exactly how much they're saving, and how they can move forward.
Yeah, would you recommend that individuals use a system for this, like, for example, an app? Or something like that, a system to make sure they're tracking their expenses rather than just having an idea. Oh, yeah, I know I did Uber, and that was about $20-something, and I did buy a few extra groceries, and that was $45. Instead of it being a head job, that
yeah.
they use an actual system?
Unfortunately, I don't. I myself have an Excel sheet, and I know a lot of our clients. Actually, Merrill Lynch has a budget sheet, so it's kind of a pre-filled in form of common expenses that you could fill in that a lot of new clients use. And some people are better with a hard copy, or some like to fill it in online. And that is what we typically provide our clients. And truthfully, it doesn't have to be down to the penny. It's just an idea of how much you spend per week so that you could see where things could be cut out if necessary. And I'm sure we could all cut out little things that we spend money on that we shouldn't every day. So
yeah,
that's like just being more financially savvy and being educated.
Okay, so with respect to that, immediately my brain is going, wait, do I really have to give up my latte? Like, that makes me happy. I mean, I'm going through a whole lot of stuff already. Do I have to give up what I love, my lattes?
No, absolutely not. And during this time, please, anything that makes you happy, go for it. And if it means a $4 latte, more power to you. I guess that was just an example of, you know, if you are in such a different financial position right now and you don't know where to start, that's a good way to start. But if in the midst of all this, your happy place is getting a manicure every Friday during lunch, then do it. Life's too short.
Wow. I can't believe you said that as a financial advisor. I'm so excited to hear.
We're all humans.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right.
And if you're a guy, I don't know,
you could get a
shave or something like that. Treat yourself. There's many things that we could do as individuals that won't break the bank that can make us happy, but just be mindful of it, I guess is what I'm saying. You know, and maybe limit it to a few times a week. So it's also more enjoyable because it's a treat. But if you do it every day, it just becomes part of your routine as opposed to being a treat.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I wish I had done but now have started to do with respect to budget and then money to play with is I actually have a jar that's called Play Money, in which I take a percentage of my income, put it into that play jar, and I am forced to spend that money in any way I want to by the end of the month. So it never sits more than a month. So if I accumulate, let's say, $100 within that month for play, then I go out and I do whatever it is I want to do without the guilt. So I've planned for the play. I've planned to have fun. I've planned to do that which I enjoy rather than what I used to do was not even paying attention to it. And then, you know, credit cards are up sky high and things like that. So I planned to play by saving the money for it.
I love that. I think it's a great idea. And it practices moderation, too, that we could carry into other parts of our lives. And it's healthier for us. And if you have children, this could be something that you could exercise with them as well. Perhaps if it's weekends that you spend together or certain weeknights, you could do something special so that it's a treat for all of you. And it's not expensive, but you're aware of it. And I think that's important for every family to have. You know, you need your sanity, and as long as it's within means, I don't have a problem with that.
One last question just before we wrap up. Julie, do you think that there is do you experience a difference between women going through divorce and finances and men going through divorce and finances?
Absolutely not. I think both men and women have the same strengths and weaknesses, because every relationship is different. So I have spouses come to me who are the males and have the exact same situation as other families who come to me and the female has the same problem. You know, every marriage has different roles for the husband and wife, and I think it's important that we don't create stereotypes for which spouse typically knows more or knows less or has more or has less. Men and women equally go through the divorce, and every situation is different, and they each have to be educated so that they have as equal of an opportunity going through this as their ex-spouse.
Well, Julie, I could talk to you all day about finances and divorce and helping men and women through the process, but unfortunately, it's time to wrap it up. So can you offer one last golden nugget for our listeners or a resource you want to point people to?
Sure. Well, I think the best thing that you can do, obviously, is to become educated and tap into the resources available. So if you're calling into this this session, you're already doing one right thing, so congratulations on that. There are a number of divorce specialty seminars that go on throughout the year. I actually host a once-a-month event that is free, and it's called Transformation Tuesday. It is hosted the third Tuesday of every month from 6 to 8 p.m., and it's a full panel of divorce experts. So just as we were talking about through this call, attorneys, mediators, CPAs, myself, my CDFA, and therapists, divorce coaches, so they alternate as the months go, so it's never the same panel. And we just offer free information. And we honestly see guests through every part of the divorce process attend, and we can always offer help, and you're never too late to gain more information. So educating yourself and being fully aware of what's going on and what's available out there is number one. And really trust yourself and trust your instincts. Be gentle with yourself. It's a very difficult process, what you're going through. Very few people have ever said it's easy. So if there are days that you feel setbacks emotionally, it's okay. You're allowed to have that. And if there's other times where you feel that you're not really clear on a certain aspect, either from your attorney or your financial advisor, give them a call. We're always eager to help. And it only benefits you so that you are fully aware of this process and what's going on. And you're not alone. So there are other people going through the same thing as you and experts who can offer suggestions just because we've seen it so many times. So you're not alone through this. You are doing everything right, and it will be over.
Wow, Julie, I wish I had met you back in 2011 when I was going through this. It would have made such a difference in my outcome, for sure. I mean, I've made the best of my situation, but it could have been even better for me, I guess. You're
well,
so
thank
comforting.
You. And that's one more thing, too, Pamela. You know, you say that you would have done things differently, and I don't want people to think that they've done anything wrong. Of course, as in everything in life, we always look back and say, had I known this, I would have done it differently. But life is a learning experience, so you just have to take what you have and move forward in the best way possible. And you know, if you find that you make a mistake, you could always go back and get second opinions or reevaluate things. And just know that this is a learning process for you, and you will learn so much more going through this than you could ever imagine. So it's never too late to think, okay, let me re-strategize, let me regroup.
Wow. Great wisdom. How can people reach you, Julie?
I can be reached at 215-587-4703 or by email, which is my first name, Julie, J-U-L-I-E, dot Tarana, T as in Tom, E-R-R-A-N-A, at M as in Mary, L as in Larry, .com.
All right, I'm going to ask you to do that one more time because I know when I listen in on these calls, there's so much going on. I miss numbers and I miss email. So one more time.
Sure. So my phone number is 215-587-4703, and my email address is Julie, J-U-L-I-E, dot Tarana, T as in Tom, E-R-R-A-N-A, at ML.com.
Awesome. Julie, thank you. Thank you so much for being on the call today. I am grateful, and I know that Mainline Family Law is grateful as well.
Thank you, Pamela. It was a pleasure being your guest, and I really hope that this call helped as many of the people in our audience as possible.
Mainline Family Law can be reached via the website myhealthydivorce.com. You want to spend time on this website because it is full of useful information you may not know exists to help you. As I said earlier in the call, you will also find great information on the affiliates that Mainline Family Law has, including the Certified Divorce Financial Advisor, Julie, CPA, therapist, divorce coach, you name it. It's all there for you, so please visit. I can be reached via my website, which is mymuddyhighheels.com, for you to get in touch with me and find out a little bit more if you're interested of the work that I do. Please join us next month for another insightful conversation to help you achieve a healthy divorce. Please mark your calendars for April the 12th. The topic is about negotiating for the future, specifically around blended families. Until then, remember, you can have a healthy divorce. It's how you divorce that matters. Take care.